everyone. Now, I'm going to speak today about some work we've done on row spacing and seeding rates of winter canola in northeast Oregon. I'd like to recognize one of my colleagues, Nit Srivatka, here that was my research technician during the course of this work. Part of the reason for doing this, our objectives were stand establishment is our most limiting factor for winter canola. You've heard another number of other speakers present that. Frank Young just previously mentioned some of the hot, dry soil conditions we have during our planting windows of September, August, and into October. And so part of that strategy that he showed you was if we can go to wider row spacings, we can move more of that soil out of the way and plant into moisture. So we don't really know what the effect in our area of going to wider row spacings is, so that was the purpose of this work. And that was our objective. And I'm going to speak primarily about yield here, although we did do some quality measurements. We did 2 years of work with this work so far. We're looking at row spacings of 12, 18, 24, and 30 inches. In 09, we had 4 and 8 pound seeding rates, and to be more definitive, we split that out in this last season of 010. We went to 2, 4, 6, and 8 pounds of seeding rate. I'd like to point out that we have annual rainfall of about 16 inches. We measure that from September through September, and these two seasons were just about average for both seasons. What really changed was the distribution during the season. This year we had 175% of rain in April and May, and 200% of rain in June. So two average years, but the distribution was quite different. The way we perform these practices, we have a Hagee plot drill. It's a double disc, 5 foot wide plot drill, and with a cone distributor, and we're able to change the row spacing on where we put our tubes and the openers. Because when you start doing row experiments, there's a lot of work or a lot of drills that you have to use, and we want to eliminate that. So we went to this one single drill. We're planting this on conventional summer fallow conditions, about 80 pounds of nitrogen. Because this is a small plot drill and we're limited on the amount of space, we did wet the seedbed to get this crop established in the proper window. We harrowed it, and it was seeded on the 18th of September or the 14th of September, respectively, for those 2 years. The way we harvest canola is we push it over, force lodge it. In 09, it was the 21st of June. In 10, it was actually about the 2nd of July. We combined in the 4th of July in 09 and on the 17th of July this year. Quite a bit of difference in date because of the rainfall conditions we had. If you're not familiar with what pushing canola is, you just force lodge it. This is our model of a canola pusher, just a little bent header, and you drive through that as fast as that little swather can go. And it just force lodges it all in one direction. And that's what it looks like. It's just pushed over and you combine the opposite direction through it. Our experimental design for this is a randomized complete block split plot. Where's my mouse here? There we go. Our main plot was row spacing, and the split plot is the seeding rates. We did 4 replications, and when you start calculating this out, there are actually different plot widths here because of the amount of rows. And we had 5 by 40 foot plots. And this is an example of what the experiment looked like. This is probably one of the most complicated experiments I've ever done, because when you start doing small rows, you have to plant a neighbor plot next door so you get the correct row spacing. So as you look through here, you can see all these different row spacing, and every one has a neighbor plot to establish the right adjacent row spacing. And I'll just show you a couple photographs of that. It's kind of what it looked like. And I'll get into some of the data. This is yield by row width in our 2009 year, 4 pound, 8 pound sowing rates. And this is kind of response we saw just by row width and seeding rates. And what you see here is the 12, the 18, and the 24 are kind of performing equally, nearly so. And we drop down when we hit the 30-inch row spacing. And the 4-pound seeding rates here were performing just as well as the 8-pound seeding rates. What's really happening here is when you go to these wider rows, what you're doing is packing a whole lot of seed on that wide row, so there's more interplant competition along that row. We did do stand counts with our row spacing. And these are the kind of stand counts we had. These are stand counts in plants per square meter. You can divide that by 10 if you're thinking about plants per square foot. But you can see that our stands go down in plants per square foot or plants per square meter as we increase row width because of that interplant competition along the row. We wanted to understand a little bit about what's going on when you go to wider rows, because the thought is that you have wider rows, and to get equal yield, you're going to have to, some yield components are going to have to produce better. You either have to have more branches, more pods, bigger seed, or more seeds per pod. So we looked at actually all four of those factors, and I'm going to present two of those, and that's the number of branches and the number of pods per plant. And we did have a trend when we measured this in 09 to increase number of branches per plant. And the other piece of information that I don't have up here is the way we did this was we selected three plants from the plot and measured all the yield components on three plants. And that takes quite a bit of effort when you start counting pods and thrashing it and doing that. And we actually did measure biomass, and the biomass in those three plants does increase as you go from narrow rows to wide rows. So the plants are larger, and the branching is increasing, but the factor that really increased when you go to wider rows is number of pods per plant. That's the biggest yield component factor in going to wider rows. We did look at seed size. Seed size was all equal. There was no difference from going wide rows to narrow rows on seed size or the number of seeds per pod. So this is the biggest yield component as you go to wider rows is the number of pods per plant. I've combined here the yield of winter canola by the sowing rate. So we have 09 and 010 here, and we can see this is the tan is 09, 4 pounds, 8 pounds, and here 2, 4, 6 and 8 pounds. And what happened in 2010 here, I've already mentioned the rainfall. I've never had an issue with Sclerotinia until this year. And normally we have like 2 to 3 plants per 100 that have Sclerotinia. This year we had 5 plants per 100 that did not have Sclerotinia. So complete reversal. And I was talking to Randy here, and you know, I'm learning something today. You can't predict Sclerotinia in the flower stage. You can't address it until after the fact. And so what you're seeing is some of the after the fact measurements here. And I think what we're seeing here in the 2010 crop is the effect of sclerotinia. We don't see high yields, and so it's we're seeing this, the effect of sclerotinia. This is what we saw for yield when we combine both years for row spacing, and you can see that in 2010 we really had no effect here on sowing rate and the yields. And I'll click through a couple of these because I'm getting the 2 minute second rule here and come to my conclusions. My thought here is dryland canola can be grown as wide as 30 inches if the stand establishment is during the proper window. If planting can be established owing on wide rows, I think we should be looking at 14 to 24 inch rows, and 30 inch rows are a little bit wide. Seed bed conditions and seed zone water contents are favorable. That 4 pound to 6 pound seeding rate is what I think is advantageous to our conditions. So with that, if we got time, I'd like to entertain any questions. Perry, you have a question?
John, it looked like on your 24-inch seeding rate, something was happening there in different years. Was there?
Yeah.
The
trend we had this year, I think, showed a depression, and I'm attributing that to the sclerotinia. That's how it came out this year, and I don't really have another explanation for that, but it was very severe sclerotinia, and something I never expected. In previous years, that one seemed to perform as well as the narrow rows. Yes, sir?
I have a question, not so much about the row spacing density data, but how often can you plant winter canola in Oregon on residual moisture, where you using just the summer fallow moisture and not giving that 1 inch of irrigation before planting? That would surely be one of the limitations of canola production in that area?
Yeah, that was one of my opening statements. Now, Frank showed his deep furrow plot drill, and I actually have one of those, but it's an 8 foot wide drill. And I think you could establish winter canola if you do chem fallow or you do good management of your conventional fallow. There are growers that do that in most years. We just don't have the acreage to do that. So it would take some management by growers who are used to growing wheat to manage their ground a little bit differently and to adopt some new equipment. But I think it could be done at least 50% of the time. Yes, sir.
Do you have any assessment on maturity based on the row spacing?
Question is if I did any evaluation of maturity, and the answer is no, we didn't.
Okay. Roger, just wondering if you noticed any trends in lodging with row spacing?
Question was if I noticed any difference in lodging. This year, I did not, and last year I did not either. But when we went in to sample those plants for yield components, you got to crawl in the canopy and select the plant. And at that point, I realized how severe the sclerotinia was.
Thanks, Don.
You're welcome.